Curious. I found out when you're the preacher, you get control of how things can be arranged. So I asked them to put it in a circle because I just like different. I think we got back into a routine of being in rows, and this way you can see each other, enjoy your fellowship. Another thing is I don't like to preside over people. So I'm just going to sit down with you and share the message today because I am not above you. Back when we read the book Pagan Christianity, and those that are reading it, ladies, I guess you've gotten to that part, maybe not spoiling it, but they talked about how they tried to elevate the clergy. And I'm not elevated above you by no means. So we're gonna look at something, if I can get my iPad to work up. We were at Winterfest a couple of weeks ago. I guess it was mid-February. Time's flying by. I can't believe it's mid-March. And they actually had this this as part of it. So if you were at, there you go, you can see my wonderful HHI promo there if you'd like. And the title of this lesson is going to be Zooming In. Zooming In. All right. Zooming out. Sorry, zooming out. All right. What I want you to think about is this. How often do we focus on what's right in front of us? I play this game with a bunch of us guys at church where it's like a shooting game. You run around, and I can't aim to save my life. So I will never be in the military, because if I am, I'll be like a stormtrooper, won't hit anything. So I have to put a scope on my gun, whether it's a little handgun or whether it's anything, not because I want to sit miles away and hit somebody. It's because if I don't, I won't be able to see the person running by. So I always run around with this scope on. So if you're watching on my screen, all you see is zoomed in. Well, there's a problem with that. When you're zoomed in so often, what are you missing around you? I don't know how many times I've been sitting down trying to aim at the person running in front of me, and somebody else comes up right beside me and kills me. And I'm like, well, where'd they come from? And it's because I was zoomed in. And so this one is particular for me, zooming in. Or zooming out would be more of what we need to do. I don't know if this is something you guys know a lot about, but selfies. I'm going to explain something about this picture. The one on the right is Kristen. Me and Kristen used to send pictures before we got married. I'm horrible about it. The one on the left, I got to tell you a funny story. A couple weeks ago, I was at Lipscomb Academy Middle School. We were doing a walk for water during their school. And my coworker in Texas said, hey, take a selfie of you in the crowd, and we'll put it on Instagram to say, hey, there's a walk for water at Lipscomb Academy today. So I've told some of you this story, but I'm there beforehand, and I'm not a selfie pro. And so I get into the auditorium before the chapel starts when I'm going to speak to kick off the walk for water. And I'm up on stage, and I take out my phone, and I'm literally practicing how to do a selfie with people behind me. So I'm like, and I look like the biggest moron. I can just feel stupid doing it. And I look to the right and through the doors outside in the hallway are some middle school girls looking through the window of this guy doing a selfie. So in chapel, I explained I was going to take a selfie. As you can see, I basically got a picture of me in the floor. At Winterfest, this is kind of what this one point came out, and I'm tying two points together, but it said so often in life, we're so focused on selfies that we miss what's going on around us. You know, back in the day, selfies didn't exist. Actually, I saw something on the history of selfies that I saw this, and I don't know, it's on the internet, so I don't know if it's true, but it was like this person in the old day taking a picture of themselves in the mirror, and then black and white, like back. And I was like, well, maybe people did take pictures of themselves in the mirror reflection to see how they are. But we focus in on ourselves, don't we? And a lot of times, we focus in. So we're going to have a little fun here. These are pictures that are zoomed way too far in. Right now, gather your opinions. We're going to go through a couple of these. Anybody know what we got? Somebody's jacket? Anybody know who we got now? Ronald McDonald. There's good old creepy man of the year. You ever wonder why he's the representation of a kid's fast food? I don't know. All right. Anybody thinking spark plug? Light bulb? Gasoline pump. This one's out of focus. They got a little too close for my taste. Gets a little closer. A little farther out. It's a shaver. All right, now this one was the one that took, might get you for a while. Oreo. Yeah. Ladies, this one will be for you because I don't use one of these. No. Blow dryer. And then the last one. Tennis racket. So you can see, so often we get caught in looking in, and there's nothing wrong with digging deeper. It's good to dig deeper, and it's funny, when I did this lesson where we're about to go, I actually had to dig deeper to get more information for where we're going. But turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6. This was a passage that stood out at Winterfest to me, and it's been on my mind since. Isaiah chapter 6. And we're just going to look at the first 9 verses of this, but we're going to zoom out to get a better understanding. But in the process, I had to zoom in to get more information. I've read enough commentaries to figure out stuff to make sure I knew what I was talking about. Rich, you interject anytime you want. I don't have Jeff in here on some of the facts if I get a little off. But we're going to read this and we're going to zoom out a little bit and catch this scene. In the year that King broke his microphone, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Real quick side note about this. Uzziah was a king during a time when they were split. The kingdoms were split. Uzziah actually was a good king. He started very young in a kind of a dual ship with his father, and then he took over full reign. And for the most part, they said he was a very intelligent, very innovative, good king. And you know, you had good kings, bad kings. You know, you have ebb and flow. Toward the end of his reign, though, power got to him a little bit, and he actually made a mistake. Priests were like, no, don't do this. He goes in there to the altar of the incense, and he's going to try to do that. And they said, no, no, no. And as soon as he does, God strikes him with leprosy, and that's how he lived the rest of his life. But Uzziah, for the most part, was a good king. And so it's kind of funny. The guy at Winterfest was saying, some people remember things by the year somebody passed away. I don't know if this generation does. I don't really go by years of, like, a famous person passed away in that year. But some of you might be like, oh, in 1975, so-and-so passed away. I do know in 1977, Elvis passed away. Only reason I know that is because it was like a week or so after I was born. So one king went away and one king came into the world. It was great. Sorry. Back to the lesson. But imagine this scene here. Isaiah is having a vision. And he says, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Now I want to explain something. I read a lot of commentaries on this, and from what I gather from most is that it wasn't God that he saw, but more Jesus, which in technicality he saw God, but it was Jesus. In John chapter 12, I think it is, it talks about this account, and it said that he saw the Lord Jesus in that passage. But so he sees this vision. And I want you to think about this. How many of you know anything about the temple? We're going to do some temple size comparisons behind me. A couple of the temples that are we talk a lot about. The temple, after I went through some experts this morning, the temple of during Isaiah time was Solomon's temple. Okay, and that's the little one down there right above the American football field. So imagine this temple. American football field is how many yards? 120, actually, if you want to be technical, because the end zones are 10 yards each. I knew you guys would miss that one, but okay. So an average football field, 120 yards. I don't know how long this building is, but for sake of it, let's just imagine that this is the size of the temple. Imagine it was bigger. I'm not a good at size. Rich, would this be close to the size of the temple? Or are we not quite 100 yards? Are we 60 yards. So a little bit bigger than this. End to end. So imagine this whole building. is a temple. And Isaiah sees the Lord seated on a throne, and all he can see filling the temple is what? The train of his robe. What an awesome presence of God this is. What an experience. The guy actually at Winterfest had stood up on a chair, and I'm not going to do this because for injury's sake, I can't afford to fall. And he had somebody else kind of kneel down and looking up. So all that the person, when they were kneeled down on the ground, was at the level of his feet. And you think about that, the presence of God in this situation, in this vision. He says, above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And I looked for a good image of there's all kinds of images of seraphim on the internet. But this, imagine this. And you wonder, why were they covering up? Who were they also in the presence of? The seraphim were also in the presence of who? The Lord. They were in such awe that they covered not only their eyes and their faces, but they covered themselves in the presence of the Lord. Now, we think of the seraphim as some, as people think of them as mighty presence. And there they are in the presence of the Lord, and they themselves are in such awe. If we were to see a seraphim, we would be in awe of them, right? But here they are, and they're in the presence of the Lord. And so Isaiah is seeing this vision. And it says, they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." They, too, recognize the presence. I want you in your mind, as we're talking about this, to imagine if you're in the presence of the Lord. Would you be only to say, "Holy, holy, holy"? Would you be in such awe? Do we have such reverence for the Lord like the seraphim did? Or has God become a tiny little idol to us? Has God become somebody, not somebody, something we put on a thing and He's no bigger than anything else in our lives? Or is this the God that would fill this temple with this His robe, train of His robe? And so they continue on. It says, and they were calling to one another, and then it goes on. At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. It's a lot going on. The presence of the Lord. And this is where we're going to focus. So Isaiah is telling this recount of this vision. And Isaiah says, "Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." So Isaiah is saying, "Lord, I'm not worthy." Does this sound like anybody else that had a presence of the Lord and said, "Lord, you find somebody else. Who does that remind you of?" Moses. I was going to say my Bible bowl compadres better be saying Moses. Isaiah's like, "I am not worthy. I am ruined. My lips are unclean, and the people I'm around." Now think about the people this time, in the time of this, Isaiah's telling us. Morally, they're going downhill fast. They've lost their focus on God. Matter of fact, Isaiah's going to go on and he's going to talk about all the woe and that's going on. And he's going to say, if you don't correct this, if you don't repent to God, you're going to end up being in captivity. Well, we all know what happens. Where do they end up in? Captivity. Okay? And Isaiah's saying, "Look, God, I'm just not worthy." And it says, imagine this. It says, then one of the seraphim, now imagine this, flew to me with a live coal in his hand. A live coal is something hot. Has anybody ever picked up some coals out of a fire? Okay? Flying toward me with a live coal. Whoa. This vision, whatever this is, dream, however you want to talk about this, that's getting a little... All right? And it says, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. Now, we're going to go to Mr. Chris because he's my Bible ball teacher. Where in the temple Was there a fire that might have been burning all the time? But out in the courtyard, there was a fire that burned the altar where they did the burnt offerings. And how long did it burn? It always burned, didn't it? Night and day. They never let that fire go out. And it says, he took it from the altar and he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Wow. Now watch Isaiah, and this is what we're going to focus on. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, and now you all know this. This is where Isaiah 6 is most commonly quoted, is it not? We hear this all the time. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, and everybody uses this verse all the time, here I am, send me. Great passage, but how many times have we ever looked at that passage, zoomed in on it? And now we've zoomed out to see where he got this command, where he got this call. And what does he do in the awe of the Lord? How does he answer? And I didn't put verse 9 up there. I didn't copy and paste into it. But what does Isaiah do? He goes and he does what the Lord says. And God's going to give him a message to tell the people. It's not going to be a pleasant message. It's not a message of, woohoo! It's a message of get your act right or you're going to captivity. It's not an easy message. You know, we don't ever stop to think about the prophets. Remember Jonah? Go tell those people they're wrong. I ain't doing that. You're crazy. I'm going to go run off and ends up in a whale or a giant fish, as we learned in Bible VBS for so long. When you're in the presence of the Lord, if God is in your presence, if the Lord Almighty is in your presence, is your call to obedience not going to be that much easier? Isaiah didn't think about it, did he? He didn't say he pondered this. The vision went away and he thought about it for a few days and he was like, oh, you know, that's a good message. Let me ponder that. Let me think about it. No. Right there in that presence, he said, here I am. Send me. In our lives, we talk about so often about wanting to be Christians that live a call to what Christ asks, right? That's what we strive for. But how many times do we not look at the Lord Almighty with awe to think that if He's called us to do something, that we should just do it? Isaiah has a message for us, and it's a message of this. The Lord's calling you. Act on that call. But I think what it's going to take for some of us, me personally, is sometimes I need the awe factor for it to be. I could have read this passage a million times, and I do so often with the Bible. I don't like to read. There's reading to me, I could read the Bible through and not get anything out of it. I can hear somebody speak and then visually put it out for me. Boom, it's ingrained. Some people can read books. Raise your hand in here. Well, don't raise your hand figuratively. And do you read books? And you can read a book and get a picture in your mind. Like you're reading maybe Harry Potter. Okay, and you're reading Harry Potter and you read through it. And in your mind, you've got like what Harry Potter looks like. You've got like, you got the whole scene going on. Your mind is like creativity. Boom, boom, boom. Me, I start reading, I'm like, because I don't see it. It doesn't click. And for me, when I read the Bible so often, I don't see things clearly. It doesn't make sense to me. And so I zoom out and somebody shows me a different way to look at it, I start to see. And so this was what stuck out to me, is that we read passages so often, but sometimes we got to zoom back out. And we got to get the context and we got to get what's going on. And maybe we need a visual. Maybe we need an explanation for it to come to life. But what happened for Isaiah is he saw a vision and that vision came to life. And in his life, he answered the call. Now, there's speculation. I read a lot of these commentaries said, was this in the time frame? Had he already been preaching some? Had he not? I don't know. But this was a part where God sent him forth. And Isaiah went on to be the prophet that we know quoted passages about Christ more than any other prophet. You know, all of his prophecies came about Christ. So, We're going to do something here in a second. We're going to sing this song that's behind me. You just listen to that. You listen to a vision that this prophet Isaiah has given you about the Lord Almighty. And we sing this song. It's a classic song that we sing so many times. But I'm going to read the words, and then in a second, Jared's going to lead us in this song. But think about this. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning our song shall rise to Thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore Thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before Thee, who was and is and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide Thee, though the eye of sinful man Thy glory may not see, only Thou art holy, there is none beside Thee, perfect in power, in love, and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all Thy works shall praise Thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Leave one part of that song in there closing, and then the lesson will be yours. The third verse. Though the eye of sinful man Thy glory may not see, only Thou art holy, there is none beside Thee. Sometimes we're so blinded by our own mankind that we don't see God in His full glory. Sometimes we need an awe moment. We need to be reminded that God in His presence is so mighty that even the seraphim have to cover their eyes and cover themselves up because they are not worthy to be in His presence. And that is the God that is calling you as an individual, like He called Isaiah, to do what He asked. So my question for you is this. Are we going to be like Isaiah and we're going to respond to His call? Are we going to be like so many people in this world that try to deny Him or try to just think of it as, whatever, I'll get to that when I want. Are we going to say, you know what? The same God that filled the temple with the robe of His, train of His robe, is the same God that calls you in love and says, follow Him. Give your life to Him. So, next time you see the verse, go. Or Isaiah says, back here, says, and who will go for us? And next time you say, here I am, send me. Think about what that means. The lesson is yours as we sing, Holy, Holy, Holy.